It is 7:32 and you're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Linda. And if you're just getting to tune in for the first time this week, Linda's out on vacation. She'll be back on Monday. So it's you and me and Brad Graber, our money guy, who checks in every Tuesday with us to give us some great biblical advice on how to handle all we've been given stewardship of by God. Hey, Brad, good morning.
Good morning, Kelly.
We're glad to have you here with us. And by the way, I want to let all of you know, you can check out, as we're talking with Brad and we finish up the conversation this morning, check out his website. It's investingintruth.com. And I was making reference earlier, Brad, to some of the things that you handle through the website. And before we get into our topic this morning, I wanted to ask you if you would, because we haven't asked you this for a while, and for new folks that are listening, share a little bit about what it is you actually do.
Well, professionally, I'm a financial advisor, and just through my own personal experience with God working on me through the avenue of money and working with clients in that direction, decided that I should take a lot of my research and try to write on that so that people have a resource to go to get biblical wisdom on finances. So that's where I came up with the idea of creating Investing in Truth, so that people can go there, do topical searches, or I do a class every year where I take people through 12 months of just A to Z through biblical finances, and that's what I call my financial boot camp. So if anyone's interested in just starting a course like that that you can go through by yourself, it's actually a tab on my website as well where I just linked the various articles that deal with each subject by each month and kind of walk you through that process.
Well, cool. And we've been sending people there and inviting them to check out your website and get information, because I was there a few days ago, as I know that you know, because I contacted you, because a post that you have on your website really caught my attention, and it's about gambling. And I wanted to talk with you about this morning, Brad, because I know that as I talk with people in the church and even people in my own family, they're either saying, you know, you're making a big deal out of nothing, I don't have a problem with this, I'm not spending my tithes on this, to over here on the other side, it's entirely wrong, you should never do that. And we've had stories in the news where we've heard of pastors giving church members money and as part of a project to go out and do good. They bought a lottery ticket and won, and now suddenly it's opened up a whole new can of worms. So I wanted to invite you to take us to God's Word this morning just to talk about gambling. Are we making a big deal out of something that's nothing, or is this really serious?
It's a topic I certainly like to spend time talking on, because it's a very polarizing topic. It's one where some people look at it and say, you know what, this is just my form of entertainment. And other people look at it and they see the underlying sins involved with gambling, and so they are making a big deal of it. So where should we stand? And that's a big reason why I wrote that article, because I feel like it's something we need to spend more time on and really get to the bottom line of, is there an issue really behind it? And one of the big problems with gambling is there's been a lot of money put into the marketing and the packaging of it. And I think that's why it is such a polarizing issue even inside the church. And some people just see the glossy external coating on it, and others have unwrapped the package to see really what's behind the pretty wrapping that's on it and see the ugliness inside.
Well, you know, we were talking earlier, Brad, and taking a few phone calls here on the air about the fact that we've been seeing some really huge lottery jackpots lately. And I like the way that you described that analogy you made, that it looks like a beautifully wrapped package. And man, what could we do with nearly $1 billion? But then we unwrap it, and what are the consequences? Is this a wise investment of what God has given us? So share a little bit, if you would, about once we do unwrap it, what are we finding at the bottom of that package?
Well, let me just, that article, I'd encourage people to go read it, because then you have a little more time to digest it and look at the scripture that I'm referencing in it. But just even in the comments you made right there, we see several different problems with it. Number one is that gambling is built on the sin of greed. So the lottery is a perfect example. You drive down the road, what do we see? We see billboards that don't talk about, why lottery is something that people should be doing, because it's ultimately about how much money can you win. And it starts making you think of those what-ifs. Oh, what would I do if I had that much money? Well, there's another sin. Now we're starting to covet what our lifestyle would look like, how we can live the life of the rich and famous by potentially winning this lottery. And there we have another sin. So we're denying God's sovereignty over our situation. So the Bible says that God makes the rich and the poor, so we would rather go buy a lottery ticket and hopefully change our situation rather than just trust in God putting us into a situation. And then, again, the what-ifs start to build the discontentment, the desire for materialism. And, you know, those are just a few of the very early things that we can get to. And all of it goes against the biblical design of how we provide for our families through work. So we're even tearing apart the foundation of how we provide for our families in the process.
You know, I think it's interesting as you talk with people about this subject. In fact, Nate called in earlier from Indianapolis, and he kept saying, I see it from both sides. He said, on one side of the fence, there's this issue, but on the other side, I see this too. And, you know, he shared that he does not have a problem with people buying the occasional lottery ticket or sitting down and maybe playing a game of cards for a little bit of money. He said, if you don't have a problem with it and you're not inclined to fall into an addiction with it, then he said he didn't see an issue. But on the other side of the fence, what if you're doing that as a Christian and you're doing it around someone who does have that addiction? Did you just create a stumbling block? But from what I'm hearing you say as you go to God's word with this, it's even deeper than that. It's not just about the other people. We really have to look in our own hearts.
Yeah, it's gambling is a serious heart issue. And one of my closing comments on that article is that even if we could go through the process and gamble, buy a lottery ticket, whatever it may be, without sinning at all, ultimately, are we still feeding a system that is designed on taking advantage of the vulnerable, either those that are desperate or those that are in a poor situation and can't actually afford to lose the money and feed this system? You know, we're giving our profits to that system that is taking advantage of those people.
Well, I wanted to ask you too, Brad, and I understand what you're saying about that. What about, because this is part of your article too, you say that gambling violates the command to love our neighbor. Share some more about that.
Yeah, you know, the whole idea behind gambling is that money is put into a pot and one person wins out of that. The house gets to keep some of it in most situations, and then the others are the losers of it. So they help fund the winnings of the one that did win. So that's the biggest problem is, if you look at gambling and who the typical people are that gamble, it is the poor. So if you're walking away a winner, then ultimately you won on the backs of the poor people that couldn't afford to lose in the end either. So while you can be excited that you walked away a winner, you still have to look at where did it come from. And it came from those other people directly.
That is a great point. I got to tell you, even in considering everything that's involved with this subject, that never crossed my mind. That's really kind of, actually, it's a heartbreaking thought if you think about it. I mean, really, my goodness. Hey, I wanted to ask you, Brad, too, because I've heard this from people who are playing the lottery, that they don't have an issue because they don't feel like they're gambling away money. The lottery does put money into our state, and it takes care of things that are necessary for our state. So they're looking at it as, you know, maybe I might win and that could be cool, but it's also investing in the state, so I don't feel like I'm doing anything wrong. Talk about investing versus gambling.
Well, I'm glad you brought up that topic. Number one, you have to look at the lottery is truly a form of taxation. And then you look at who's funding the lottery, and it is typically the poor, as I mentioned already. So it is a voluntary tax on the poor if you really get to the bottom of it. And some people like to look at it and say, you know what, it goes to roads, it goes to infrastructure, it goes to schools, all those things. And yes, if you follow the money, it may be going to those specific parts of the budget, but it's not as if it's additional money on top of what used to be there before the lottery ever came. In most situations, they actually took the money that had been there and redistributed that to other parts of the budget. So now they can say that the money being raised from the lottery is going specifically for education or for roads, those specific things. So it's not that there's necessarily more money there. It's just that the money's coming directly from a source so that then the story matches up. And if you're looking at funding those things, so you want your money to go to education. Well, from the lottery, only about a third of it ever actually goes to the state. So if you want your money to go directly to the state for education, you can give 100% of it if you avoid the lottery. So from the standpoint of wanting to do good with the money through the lottery, you can avoid the lottery and do more good. So there's no reason to go through that process. And then you just brought up the idea. I want to get back to your original question of investing versus gambling. And I can say that there should be a distinct difference between those two things, but they're not, there's not always a difference. Some people will take stocks and other types of legitimate investment vehicles, and they'll gamble with them just in the way that they handle them. But if you look at the fundamentals behind investing versus gambling, number one is there should be an expectation of a profit if you're investing versus gambling. In gambling, we know that if you walk into a casino, the house has the odds against you. You play long enough, you're likely going to lose what you walked in with. In investing, you're putting your money into investments expecting to get a positive return back. You're also, in investing, you're actually buying something that's worth something of value. In gambling, you're not. The relationship of work. So when you're gambling, gambling is designed to basically devalue work, where investing is, at its core, it's actually valuing work. So it's investing in business. It's investing in developing products that are improving people's situation, so adding value to with services or goods that actually help the individuals that are buying those things that are providing your profit. And then that just shows, too, that you're adding value to people. You're not actually making your profit from the loss of others. You're making your profit by delivering something of value to people that they're willing to pay for.
You know, as I'm sitting here listening to you talk, Brad, I'm realizing, too, I mean, you talk about the different areas where you could invest that money to do more good. And it would be great to wake up tomorrow morning and see $1 billion in my bank account, but we're also talking spiritual investment. It's not just financial, cut and dried, but there is a deeper spiritual investment that it may take us a while to see, but ultimately when we stand before God, we are going to see it.
That's right. And dropping $1 billion in your account would probably do nothing of good for you.
Probably not. Truth be told.
And it wouldn't for me either.
Man,
so
I had to take a deep breath. And yeah. Hey, I want to let all of you know, as you're listening to Brad talking about this morning, gambling versus investing. Boy, I tried to roll those words together. You can find this article on his website, investingintruth.com. And what I wanted to point out about this article, Brad, too, I wish we had more time to really talk and go super in depth, but unfortunately, we're already out of time. But I wanted to let everyone know that you actually do back up every point with Scripture. It's right out of God's Word, so people can go there and take a look at it.